And now, Chief Heat.
Ladies and gentlemen, those who are still with us, welcome to Cheap Heat, the number 233rd ranked podcast in sports and recreation. I made up that number, Stack Guy Greg, but it feels that way because last week, what a major hit I took personally.
Yes, not professionally.
No.
Just personally.
No, it did not impact me professionally. But personally, it did make me feel bad to see the amount of people, dare I say,
it was repug.
The amount of people who, I heard from many people, I'd say in the range of 10 to 12 people who wrote me just to say, never listening again. Including one guy, this one really was like a punch in the stomach. He was like, I've bought two t-shirts. You saw that?
That one hurt me too, I'm not going to lie. That one hurt me too.
He said, I bought two t-shirts and I'm never listening again. I'm unsubscribing.
It hurt me, but then I realized that we released three t-shirts.
And then you were like, he's not loyal. I was a little surprised. I thought last week that when I came out and said, I sort of admitted that I'm in a somewhat compromised position, but I was going to tell you what I believe to be the truth anyway. This is what I believe is the truth anyway. Frankly, the truth that I gave you, if I pulled punches any direction, it wasn't the direction you think I was pulling punches. It was the direction of the way people are responding. And it's not about Morrow. It's not even about JBL. It's about the people who are pretending to be outraged on the internet. That's who bothers me the most right now. Because it's honestly, like I said, we don't know enough about JBL. Even if you've heard stories from wrestlers about him being a bad guy. Even if you've heard stories of wrestlers of him being a good guy, of which there are plenty of both. I'd say I saw more, to be totally honest, about him being a good guy, but whatever. People won't believe that anyway. But you know, I told you I had to use my personal experience. And when I told you my personal experience was that I like JBL and that, I think he can be tough, but I think he's a good dude. People don't want to hear that. And they said, that's me just being a shill and attacking Morrow. That was the one part I was surprised. When, at any point last week, did I ever attack Morrow?
Not only did we not attack Morrow, we didn't attack, Meltzer and Justin Roberts either. And that's the other thing too. Like, questioning their motives is not an attack.
No, it's not. Exactly. Someone said that today. Someone sent me an email. I mean, this guy was angry.
Questioning motives is not
an attack. He emailed me on my booking account, and he was like, how dare you say something about a reporter who's been nothing but honest for... First of all, I'm saying is, Dave, I don't know Dave Meltzer. I'm sure he's a good enough guy.
But apparently he has a spotless record.
Yeah, a spotless record, except for the fact that if you listen to Something to Wrestle With, which is a great thing to listen to in terms of judging Meltzer, Conrad will read an article from 1994, and Pritchard will then tell you how that was never even remotely true. That was never. Now, you could just say, well, Pritchard's just a liar who just wants to put himself over.
Of course they're going to say that because Meltzer is nothing but honest.
Right, right. I'm not suggesting that Meltzer's lying in this story, but I'm suggesting that is there a possibility he's ever gotten anything wrong? Of course.
But
here's the part that really bothers me. Let's not spend the whole episode lamenting because, you know, we've already lost the people who said they're never listening again and think I'm a bad person. Number one, I am not suggesting that bullying is okay. Now, do I agree with Booker T's take that after the age of 18 and crossing the stage at graduation, you're a grown man, you should no longer be able to be bullied? I might agree with that, but I won't dare say that because then people will think I'm in favor of people being senselessly attacked. All I said was, let's not indict anyone over reports. You can't do that. That's a crazy way to operate. It is crazy. It would be crazy for me to diss Morrow. It's crazy for you to diss JBL.
And I just had the thought, too, after hearing you say that, that, like, everything that's happening is happening on a spectrum, right? So, like, that's the problem with this Morrow JBL conversation. So much of it is black and white, which is, like, he did this, and now this is the thing. But we don't know what happened between them, so we don't know where on the spectrum it falls. Because I'm like you. I lean towards the Booker T theory of bullying is less likely when you're grown. Not that it's impossible, but it's less likely because that line moves closer down the spectrum.
I mean, it should be less likely. And by the way, again, this is not an indictment of Morrow. This is an indictment of people who just say they know the truth. You realize WWE is a publicly traded company with a huge HR department. So this isn't 1983 where in the locker room, if you kind of get punked, there's nowhere for you to go except to right. one of the other boys. That's not the world that anyone exists in anymore. I can tell you the HR people there. That's just to say, it's like you said, there's a ton of gray.
Yes. And that's the thing, too. Like, one, like I said, that line moves a little bit from bullying as a child to bullying as an adult. Because as an adult, there's, you know, you've experienced the world and you know there's ways you can handle it. Talk to the person. Talk to somebody else. You know, speak up. But also, we don't know what happened. So we don't know where on the spectrum it falls.
Well, we know that when Morrow came out and first announced that he had something going on, there was no reference to anything like this. The referencing to it being about this all happened when people noticed the timeline, how it fit in with Bring It to the Table and the episode in which JBL teased him. And that is when, because I don't remember the initial tweets from Morrow were about him needing time away or whatever.
Well, what happened first was it was the same week as a big storm in the Northeast that Morrow was like he couldn't make it for the weather.
Right. That was the first week.
Yep. And then the next week they said that he needed to take time off. So, you know, people assumed that the initial absence was related to that absence. And then it's all since snowballed that absence was related to his mental health issues, which he said, which is also related to his issues with JBL, which is why he isn't coming back.
Although,
that's all speculation, though. Morrow has never come out and said any of this. He obviously
has. Morrow has talked publicly about his mental health issues, correct?
Yes.
And that it's bipolar.
Yes.
Or that's how it's defined for him. And I'm a little confused. As someone who's been in therapy most of my life and takes medicine for anti-anxiety, anti-depression medicine, always has, and, you know, speaks quite openly about mental health, you can't just put all mental health issues in one basket and say, well, because he has bipolar disorder, that means that an insult from JBL would send him off the handle. He couldn't handle that. That's not that is you
right.
making judgments about how people with mental health
issues
work.
And that
goes
back to what we said, too. Like, there's so many different parts, and we don't know how they fit in together, because I've seen so many tweets and comments that it's wrong for JBL to bully a guy with mental health issues. That shouldn't be tolerated. Yes. Treating someone with mental health issues badly and targeting them because of their mental health issues,
that would be bad.
Is very wrong and it's very bad. But we don't know if that is what happened. And that's all we're saying, is that we want to know what happened. But also, as a counterpoint to all these negative stories about JBL coming out, not JBL coming out, but like, you know, these ribs that he pulled that, you know, offended people, to say that, yes, there are people who see him this way, and there's also people who see him another way. So even what we think we know about JBL is worth challenging. And, you know, the fact that Meltzer and Justin Roberts were the ones who were kind of furthering this story, that's all we're saying, is that everything we think we know, we should just challenge it, because until...
No, but why do that? Why do that when you can just make your decision and hate everyone who says something that might challenge that, which is all this was. Any people wanted me to say a specific thing. They were already ready to call me a shill because I've started working for WWE, so they were ready to come out and yell at me. So when I said to them, hey, let me be honest, it's hard for me to talk about this thing as I just started working for WWE, but let me tell you my experience, they still jumped all over me. And here's what I'll say about the Meltzer thing. The way Meltzer has covered this, and again, I'm not saying he has anything to specifically gain from it, or he's out to specifically, he just decided he was going to attack. It reminds me, though, the dedication and passion he has to JBL specifically getting in trouble reminds me of when The Source did that issue about Eminem. Do you remember that? When Benzino was running The Source?
Well, this was like 2000, right?
Yeah. Benzino was running The Source. They put Eminem on the cover, and the whole thing, it was an issue dedicated to destroying Eminem. So while you're talking about journalists, and by the way, I never purport myself to be a pro wrestling journalist, okay? I am part of the pro wrestling world. I love it. I propagate it. I am generally a shill for pro wrestling, period. All right. And most of you listening probably are too. And when there's a negative story about wrestling and one of your outside wrestling friends brings it up, you probably turn around and defend wrestling because it's the thing that you're into. My point is, you come into this with a decision already on how you feel. I don't know how I feel.
Same.
And I'm telling you, I just told you my experience as someone who just got close to it recently. So anyway, I was disappointed to know that you could listen to us for years, hear the stance that I have on every issue that happens beyond this, the way I've tackled the Hulk Hogan issue or many other things, which I think I've really hit head on, always have, always will. And because this one isn't cut and dry, because it's frankly just not a cut and dry issue, you decided to unsubscribe, hate us, and tell everyone that the podcast is terrible.
And this is the funny thing about that too, is like, this is the most middle of the road you've handled anything that we've ever had to talk about.
That's all it took. So I don't know why you didn't, if that was how you felt, why didn't you stop listening a long time ago? If all you needed was one thing to disagree with me on before you go, you know what? I was ready to tell you that was trash. But, you know, I'll give a shout out to everyone out there who we didn't hear from, who I'm sure just listened to the episode was like, oh yeah, okay. That's their side. That's the way they see it. Thank you to you guys. Which, you know, the 99% of people, because I'll tell you, I was affected and disappointed by that 1%. And when I was talking to my wife about it, it wasn't about thinking I was wrong. It wasn't doubling back and being like, no, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said it. That never crossed my mind. It was just, that's how I felt about it. And I was upset that it hurt people. And let me just offer one last thing. Let's suppose that JBL ribbed Morrow. Maybe even excessively, which, by the way, just schedule-wise and the way the world works, you know, Morrow doesn't go on the road like that, right? Morrow's off doing boxing and MMA. He's not even around. So I don't know when that would have happened. Neither is JBL, really, by the way. So I don't know when this would have happened. So in this case, I don't even think that's particularly plausible. But let's suppose the other stories about him are true. Let's go back to the 80s and 90s.
Right.
Early 90s, 2000s. Sorry. Right. And let's suppose he was this big-time ribber and gave people a hard time. The listeners of this show, or I guess now former listeners of this show, right. You guys find ribbing and giving people a hard time that deplorable, yet you love pro wrestling? And not only that, you love 80s and 90s pro wrestling.
Yeah.
You love hearing about 70s pro wrestling.
They love like guys like Shawn Michaels and Triple H and like Mr. Perfect and
you guys know that
the legendary.
You guys know the reason, as we talked about on this podcast with him, when Mark Henry was banished to Calgary, it's because he was getting ribbed so much and couldn't deal with it that he had to go to Calgary so he wouldn't kill someone.
He sent him to Canada.
And you know what Mark Henry does now when he talks about that, right? He laughs about the fact that he was such a jackass for not being able to handle the ribbing. And
Wait. They boxed him up and shipped him up to Calgary?
Yes! They went, you go off to stew. And you learn what this wrestling business is all about from Stu Hart. And that's what Mark Henry went and did. And so
this is the funny thing too. They sent him up to Calgary with the Hart family, home of like the probably most legendary ribber in the history of the business, Owen Hart.
You mean Owen?
Yeah. They said
the guy that every smart mark in the world adores, myself included, no one loves Owen more than me. That, you know, that guy who you all adore and we love him, and when we hear about him, we gobble up everything about Owen Hart there is. We chant Owen every chance we get. You know, Owen is known as the business's biggest ribber. Now, there are people who will tell you his ribbing wasn't malicious, and I don't know where that line necessarily gets drawn, you know, but do you think Owen Hart would be, I'm just pointing out to you guys who are so upset. You think Owen Hart would have shed a tear about Justin Roberts' passport story? You think that he would have been like, oh my God, they took his passport?
I'll say this about the passport.
No, it sounds really annoying. I am not saying I would be thrilled to have that happen.
I was tight for him. I was like, damn, that's whack that they did that. But then I remembered that, like, it doesn't really cost that much for somebody. I, like, they did something to him that cost him money, right? But then at the same time.
Do you mean like when NFL rookies
no, that's what
go
I'm
to
saying.
The NFL like, and spend $70,000 on
it? But that's what I was going to say. Like, they know how much money he makes. So they know that, like, all right, he can eat the $300, $500 or whatever it is to expedite his passport. He'll be all right.
Now, listen, there are people who are going to hear us just saying this and get mad at us again.
But it is annoying, though.
It's annoying.
That was my first initial.
No, me too. Me too. When I saw that, I mean, I was like, wow, that would be annoying. I wouldn't feel like doing that. But let me be clear. Even when that happens, and that's not cool. You know, you could show up right away the first thing you do and go to be like, yo, who did this? And walk around like, I need the answers on this right now.
Yeah.
Now that I don't want to blame the victim. You know, if he really felt like he was under attack, then hey, you know, that's an unfortunate situation. I haven't read his book. I don't really know that much about it. Now, I did question his standing from the way I thought he handled attacking WWE over Conor's cure. And I feel that way. I felt that way a year before I had anything to do with WWE. That was how I felt. So I can't apologize for that. And my only point was this. If it turns out Mauro was bullied out of WWE, and by the way, he wasn't fired or anything. He stopped showing up and decided not to work anymore. If that was because of bullying, and I mean actual bullying, not something the internet's labeling bullying, but we find out that he was run out intentionally. Well, that would be shameful of the people involved. But until we know that that's the case, how about we just wait and let this whole thing play out?
Which is what we said last week.
That's all. I would never badmouth Mauro, by the way, who, like I said, if he doesn't come back, bummer for everyone.
We said that last week, too, that we want him to come back.
I know. What can we do? But I just think it's crazy that the people who would listen to this podcast, the people who want to read everything, we want to gobble up everything about the good old days of wrestling, would then hear about what happened, what used to happen all the time in wrestling, and act like you don't support it? Shame on you, you fraud, because you love it. You love when you hear there's real heat. You love when you hear about a real fight, with the crazy plane ride. You love hearing about all of that. I know you do. No real wrestling fan who spends their time listening to podcasts does not get off somewhat on what hearing about what the business used to be like. And Greg, that includes some things that are really rough. As Shoemaker said about the Hulk Hogan thing when it happened, well, if we're going to start hating every wrestler who used the N-word on their private time, who knows how many wrestlers we would have had to like from back in the day.
Well, I feel like Bret Hart would still be on the list.
I think Bret Hart would be safe.
Harley Race might be out of there. I'm not gonna lie.
No, don't start projecting. You don't know.
Well, I don't know.
But the point is, we're aware of some of the negative things that came with the business back in the day. Yeah. But this is the thing that we love and we're into it, and you accept the good and the bad. And I just find it so fraudulent, the false outrage, without knowing anything. Well, guess what? I guess you didn't love Cheap Heat anyway. So if you thought we were going to cry over it, no, I was bummed out. I was. But guess what? We're still here. And with that, it's time to move on to Cheap Heat. Because we spent too long already. It's time for us to get the show started, and I refuse to be interrupted again. I really need to follow that up with an impression of AJ Styles. I need to work on that. I don't have that.
See, as managing manager of general, excuse me.
All right, let's get into the week that was in professional wrestling. Wrestling news, we have to start with just really sad news. Rosie passed away.
Yes.
The brother of Roman Reigns, 47 years old.
Yep, one half of a 3-minute warning with Umaga, member of the Anoa'i wrestling family, as is Roman Reigns, obviously, and The Rock, and Yokozuna, and a lot of people that we love, Rikishi, Usos.
They're the children of Sika, right?
Yes.
Do we know anything else except that he just passed away? And I mean, I'm assuming that's why Roman was off TV this week, correct?
I think it was heart failure. I wonder if Roman might have been scheduled to be off anyway. I just don't know because
that's interesting because what happened last week.
Right. So he might have been off anyway, but I think it was heart failure, and I think it may have had to do with his weight. I didn't read much about it, but I do know that he struggled with his weight over the years.
He was a big guy going back to his heyday in WWE. I mean, I was watching some stuff this week just to go back before I did the show, and he always looked too heavy, you know, even when he was working at his best.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I mean, you know, his lineage, he could work. You could tell how much better he could be if he was like 75 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
You could see it in him, in the way he moved, because he could do a lot of cool stuff. And he just always, I mean, he looked labored in moving around the ring, I think, even in his prime. He was a big dude. But this is horrible news, and I'm so sad for Roman Reigns. I mean, this is not, you know, we sat there, the sports world was just absolutely, you know, rocked by Isaiah Thomas losing his sister last week. Yeah. There were two horrible stories last weekend. You had Isaiah Thomas losing his sister, and about, you know, 24 hours earlier, maybe, Todd Heap of the Ravens accidentally running over one of his children in his driveway. These two really horrible stories that just, you know, as someone who works in sports and is always reading about it, I was just rocked by both. Just so horrible. And as I was thinking about Isaiah Thomas, as a Celtics fan, obviously, spent a lot of time thinking about that. And then you turn around, and now Roman Reigns, I mean, listen, I mean, Isaiah Thomas' sister was 22 years old, which I suppose is even more shocking. But 47's a young man, and that is going to be a hard thing for Roman Reigns, for a guy who's, you know, in the middle of taking the load for the company. He is the number one dude. There's no question about it. No matter what you think of Roman Reigns, he is the guy, no pun intended. And losing a sibling is, I've been there for it with my wife. Shockingly losing a sibling, and again, we don't know exactly what state Rosie was in, if maybe he'd been dealing with a lot leading up to this, and it softened the blow in some way. We just don't know, but I just, Roman's a good dude, man, and I feel for him and his family. So just want to send love to the whole family, because that's a tough one. Let's get to wrestling this week, because we spent so much time last week talking outside the ring. You know, I listened to Shoemaker's podcast from last week because people had mentioned I should hear what his take was. So I wanted to go hear his take. I rarely get to, the only other podcast I'll be honest, I listen to is Pritchard. And I don't even get a chance to listen to that every week. So, I listened to some of that. It was interesting to hear some of Shoemaker's takes. First of all, it made me miss Shoemaker. And it made me miss Cheap Heat together. Cause Shoemaker's new podcast is great. And you should subscribe to it, The Masked Man Show. And this show is great, but they're different. They're different shows. You've heard a show, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different show, and it made me miss Shoemaker. And I hope, you know, think that. Well, I hope one day we can do something together again. But he was talking about how, like, just clear it is that after the shakeup, I thought this was an interesting take. It was really a line in the sand of how clear it is that Raw is the main show, and SmackDown is the wrestling show,
and, which is unfortunate because they try to sell us on the fact that they're equal and there's this competition, but it's always going to be rigged in favor of Raw.
Well, but at the same time, I now fully prefer SmackDown. So I guess it's the top show in that I was trying to think about it though. I was like, what do they mean? What truly makes it the top show?
It has more airtime. It gets
3 hours.
Advertisers.
That's been there for longer though. So that's always going to be, it's the more established brand.
That's true. But you would think, like, if you're trying to sell them on two equal shows, it's like, okay, Tuesday is just as good as Monday if the shows are that equal. And if you're building up talent and presenting it in a way that.
Well, people are always going to want the name Raw because that's the name they know. It's the longest one, right? Stayed on one day forever. But my point is, in terms of what they've done talent wise, to me, from a talent standpoint, the only couple of things that make Raw clearly the A show from a talent standpoint, Roman Reigns, first and foremost, being there because that is their current John Cena. And the show that Cena was on was always the main show, and that is the case here as well. And at this moment, the Hardys. I think the Hardys being there is part of that because I really do feel that after Roman, in terms of excitement, the Hardys from a mainstream standpoint, because when you go a little, just a tiny bit below the surface, Nakamura is right there in terms of excitement too. Uh-huh. But the Hardys are over in a very mainstream way. So, but besides that, man, I'll tell you what, SmackDown is strong. You got to be excited if you love SmackDown.
It's true.
Looking forward at what we're going to have. The fact that we have AJ Styles and Nakamura on the same show.
Yeah.
The fact that we now have Charlotte on that show. Don't forget when it was draft time, Monday Night Rosenberg.
That's true.
Charlotte was the number one pick. And remember Campbell kind of laughed at me at first, and then after time he was like, you know what? You got it right. Charlotte is very important. very important. So, yes, while they may be the B show, I think it's a win for us. And frankly, I'd like for them to make it more clear that that's what it is. I'm okay with Raw being the more entertaining show. And I think as a result, that may make Raw, you know, that may make you care about promos more on Raw and things of that nature. But to know that on Tuesdays, you're just going to get a 2-hour wrestling show like you did this week. I mean, SmackDown was a good show this week.
Yeah, it always is. It always is. But that was the scary thing about the Superstar Shakeup. It's like, what were we going to be left with in the aftermath of them just snatching guys and moving to Raw? Because before the Shakeup, it was a foregone conclusion that AJ was going to be on Raw, too.
What happened on Raw of meaning this week? The Alexa Bliss win is cool because it sets up what Alexa is going to mean. Although, that crowd in Ohio was repug during that match. I mean, they were asleep. Now, it wasn't
unless you're from Ohio, then they.
Well, I was about to say though, thank goodness it was booked that way, because if Alexa doesn't go over, there's never a pop in that match. When Alexa won, fortunately, the crowd finally popped. But man, yep. I felt for them out there, and I got to tell you, I'm disappointed by how the fans in general react to Mickie James. Mickie doesn't get any love since she came back. No pop on her entrance whatsoever. The crowd sits on their hands. I'm like, do you not know? First of all, you don't know how good she is and how, I mean, I know that it's always been Trish and Lita, but Mickie James.
Yeah.
I mean, I would argue Mickie's the best worker of the three. Mickie is the best wrestler of the three, I believe. And I'm a fan of Trish and Lita, but Trish took a long time to get realistic with the way that she worked in ring.
Yep, way too long.
And Lita is great, but was mostly about the big spots.
Yeah, she was more Jeff Hardy in her style.
That's exactly right. And Mickie,
which didn't really appeal to me.
I there were things about it I liked. She had moments that I thought were really good.
But they were moments, though.
But they were moments, and you know, she was part of her appeal was being with the Hardys.
Right.
And then later as a heel, part of her appeal was, of course, being with Edge. And at that point, she had physically undergone some changes, and she was very attractive in that late run in her career as a heel, which worked really well. But, and even then, you know, she didn't wrestle as much, but she could always, of course, take a bump. She was great in that sense as a manager or as a valet for Edge, because she could always get in the mix because she was a wrestler. But when it comes to being a straight-up wrestler, Mickie's the best of the three. And Mickie's a Hall of Famer, and she was gone for a long time, and I'm just a little disappointed by the love she's getting or not getting.
Well, that's part of the problem. I mean, I feel like WWE is doing a good job of trying to re-educate fans on Mickie James and what she means to the company, but at the same time, it's like when she was gone, it's just like you said, when she was gone, it was all about Trish and Lita, and not that she should have been right in that conversation just because Trish and Lita had some time on her, but they just forgot all about her. And there's a lot of truth to the promos that she's been saying since she come back that, you know, people have forgotten about her and they don't realize what she means, but it hasn't translated to people actually caring because, I don't know, it doesn't come across as whining to me, but I can see it being dismissed as that. As like just an old timer trying to come in. This is a young man's game that's passed her by, which it hasn't, but I can see.
I don't know. First of all, no, because the women's division needs people. It's not like it's one of those situations where Brock Lesnar's coming back and you're like, oh, he's taking a spot. I mean, I think the women's division needs Mickie around, particularly Raw needs her right now that Charlotte left. So I was a little disappointed by that. But anyway, go ahead, sorry.
But they don't know, like, the audience generally just doesn't seem to know who she is or why they should care. Because like you said, when Brock comes back, it's like, okay, this means something. When Goldberg comes back, it's like, this means something. Or Sting or any number of these legends. Even Angle, like the WWE tried to, he kind of parallels Mickie James in that way, that he left the company and then they just ignored him.
But Angle's Angle.
Right. But at the same time, it's like, why didn't Mickie James get that same response? Like, it probably goes back to what women's wrestling was back when.
Well, that's
she was
a good point.
Top.
That you remember when she was at the top, where the division wasn't good, so she was good, but it was her and Trish, and there wasn't much more than. I mean, there were moments. It depends. I mean,
yeah,
there were people who were good here and there at different times, but it wasn't what it is now. But I got to tell you, besides that, we'll get to Strowman and Big Show, right? WWE, I almost tweeted, but I didn't want to be that guy. As you guys know, I really enjoy working with WWE. I'm not trying to ruffle any feathers. Their WWE Twitter was like, they called Hardy versus Cesaro a dream match of epic proportions. Everyone relax. Love Cesaro. Love Jeff Hardy. Had never heard one soul say we were waiting for Jeff Hardy and Cesaro.
No.
It was it was cool. And that was like sort of like, oh, a nice, that's just the one thing that sort of bothers me is like, don't oversell us on something that's not worth overselling. Save it for the things that are really worth it. Because Jeff Hardy has a myriad, there's a ton of things that the Hardys are going to be able to do that we're going to be like, oh man, we never got to see that. That's incredible. Right? You have Finn Balor and Jeff Hardy now on a roster together. That's fun. There's a lot of things over there that are fun. But like Hardy Cesaro on a random Raw. Cool to see Hardy in his first singles match. Great.
Right.
We want to see them both start doing singles and tag team because that's when they're at their best, is when they can come out, the two of them, or you get singles matches from them. But please don't try to. It was an epic proportion. No. Anyways, but that happened, and it's cool enough. And then it was really about Strowman and Big Show. But somehow 3 hours were filled, and it just didn't seem like that nearly as much happened as did on the 2 hours of SmackDown. You agree?
I do agree.
SmackDown was chock full, beginning to end. Literally from the opening promo to the last match, there was something to care about at all times. And I just didn't get that from Raw. Although I will tell you, I did ultimately enjoy Strowman and Big Show.
Oh, yeah. They could work, man. Like,
Show is in such great shape, man.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. You see him now, go watch a match of his from 3 years ago. And watch how much better he's able to move around right now, which is
so
interesting.
Disappointing too. Thanks for nothing, Shaq.
I know.
Like you wasted that.
That's a story I really want to know. And now I know. Strowman, Big Show is sick of telling the story. I should try to tweet at Shaq and see if I can get him to tell the story, because I want to know what happened, because why that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And Big Show's moment was very quick at Mania, and he told Sam that it was his last. And that's interesting, too. I mean, maybe you don't believe him, but he's in such great shape right now. Yeah. Anyways, I enjoyed that. That was, what, the third time the ring falling apart spots happened in WWE?
In the match, yep.
And
all three times it was Big Show, I believe, too. It was Mark Henry, Brock Lesnar, and now Braun Strowman.
And people pop for it every time.
Every time.
Now, let's talk about the ref bump.
Is that ref all right? Do we have a word? Do we have word on that ref?
Well, at first I was like, oh, he's dead. And then the second time I watched it, I thought he jumped he was jumping overboard for effect. I don't know which the case was, but it looked ridiculous and awesome.
I will say this though about him jumping. I don't think he jumped overboard for effect just because it was a Royal Rumble, I believe, or like a pay-per-view where Undertaker showed up to challenge Kurt Angle, and like he let the lightning bolt hit the ring, and the ring collapsed.
Okay.
And the same thing happened to Kurt Angle and the ref in there. Now, they didn't fly overboard, but they did take like an extra bounce just from the ring collapsing. And I think that ref was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like, he was standing by the ropes, and there were no ropes to bounce him back into the ring. Because those turnbuckles caved in, and he just had to go. And it's unfortunate, but
which ref was it?
I'm not sure. It wasn't Little Nate, though.
No, it wasn't. I'm trying to see if it was my boy.
Who's your boy?
I forget his name. Are the refs listed on the website?
It might have been him.
Are the refs listed on the website?
I think they are, though.
Let's see. WWE referees. Phil Alfonso, Charles Robinson, Danny Davis. No, this is...
No. Who's it?
Well, that's Wikipedia.
Bill Alfonso, though.
Yeah, they went to Bill Alfonso.
Wow. That's amazing.
Special referees, personal referees, notable referees. It doesn't list all referees. There has to be... Let's see. What's better... The referee flying in slow motion. Damn it! I want to know if it's my dude from who I used to work with at Pro Wrestling Syndicate.
Let's Let's see, WWE.com. They would have a list of referees. They should have.
Wouldn't you think so? We're going to figure it out, by the way. Hold on. Let me give you guys something to breathe on in the meantime while we look this up.
If you actually think I was just the right guy at the right place at the right time, let me say it one more time so you completely understand, McMahon. If you actually believe in your mind, if you actually think that I was just the right guy at the right place at the right time, well, then you're a bigger delusional bastard than I thought you were, McMahon. And you know something? I had a match with you a couple of... You know what I say right now, McMahon? Right now, we just settled this because I had a match with a Rock a couple of weeks ago.
It's professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No information?
Braun Strowman breaks internet ring and referee John Cone.
John Cone.
Is the...
Let me see.
It's the name of the
referee. I'm obviously a bad friend, as you can tell. You all know it's hard to remember the names of referees.
I could not tell.
But you did enjoy the match overall.
Yes, I did.
It just seems like, it does seem a little, it seems a little tough to know exactly what to do with Braun Strowman. Nope, it's not my boy.
Well, that's good. I don't know.
Whoa, it says John Cone's 42 years old. That was a hell of a bump.
Oh my God. 42? He didn't deserve that.
Oh my God. By the way, guys, when you just went, oh my God, it made me think about drops. And shout out again to Randy Cruz who sent us these drops. And he sent me more. I shouldn't have time to add more this week. But there's a drop that so the drops on the K show are like a major part of the show that I get really excited for. And we had one happen this week in a minute. It happened so fast. Like, within a few minutes, we had a couple things happen. A guy called up and accused Michael Kay of being a Yankee boy. And Michael freaked out.
How am I a Yankees boy?
Which was a great moment.
You drop a Yankees boy, you get dropped.
And then, like 15 minutes later, we have this guy, Morris, who calls the show sometimes. And Morris, he's this former rabbi. He's like 70 years old, and he speaks in this amazing New York Jewish voice that is just hilarious. Like, this was the old drop we used to play of his.
I have great admiration for your gift.
I can't explain why the way he talks is funny, but it just is. And he was talking about the Knicks, and somehow he said this, and we isolated it, and I think I have to make it a drop on GP because I love it so much.
You're hurting me.
There's so many contexts in which you could use it, right? You know what? We have, like, for example, I could use it this way. We have audio of the referee immediately after the Big Show Strowman match.
You're hurting me.
Oh, I might have to incorporate that. So if you randomly hear it, you're hurting me, know that's what it's happening from. So we should move on to SmackDown. I do think it's a little bit weird what you do with Strowman, in the meantime, while the Roman thing unfolds, right? And it's just hard to know what to do with him because you're constantly in a space we have to protect him being the biggest, baddest man all the time.
Which I think they did very well with that on Monday, though.
Like, I agree.
Throwing Kalisto in the garbage was a nice touch. Oh. I like Kalisto, but...
do you like Kalisto, but you enjoyed seeing him thrown in the garbage?
Yeah, he just disappeared into a dumpster. Like, what? That visual was amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Yeah, I enjoyed the whole thing, him backstage beating people up as well. But SmackDown opens with Charlotte coming out. I was a little disappointed with what Charlotte talked about. Like, I think Charlotte, there was more to say than I've just been waiting too long. Like, I've been waiting 1 week. It just seems like sometimes Charlotte's so good that they don't think about giving her more motivation. It's like the motivation is just that she's good and wants to wrestle. But she's a bad guy. There has to be more bad motivation. And
such as, though, like what?
Like, come out and say, while you were excited to come to SmackDown, to be honest, like, at least on Raw, as much as I deplore Bayley and Sasha Banks, at least I know who they are and what they do. Like, who is Naomi? What are you from Total Divas? Oh, you're famous for having being married and being on Total Divas, and you come out and dance? That's a disgrace. By the way, you guys know I love Naomi. I'm working right here. That is a disgrace that that's the champion of this show. I'm embarrassed to be on a show while that you like be a jerk.
That's pretty good.
That right?
That's pretty good.
Come out and say Naomi's an embarrassment. She comes out and she dances and is fluorescent. The whole thing's stupid. And then Naomi should come out and say, you know what, Charlotte? You make a living getting to be the biggest, baddest athlete wherever you go. You're just the best athlete anyone's ever seen. Oh, my God. You were All-State this, All-State that. You're a better athlete than Bailey and Sasha combined. You're an unbelievable athlete. Well, there's only one athlete in WWE better than you. Me. There's your story. Good night. Good luck. It's written. And then they go have great matches because we saw just a taste from them. That was their first time getting to work. And
yeah, first ever.
Pretty good start. Pretty good start. Like, I think it was still a little sloppy and there are things that they're going to get better.
Yeah, because, I mean.
If they give them time, though.
Like Bailey and Sasha and Charlotte.
Had years.
Yeah, they were all in NXT together. That chemistry was flawless.
I won't get this because the things I want, I rarely get. Except for this week, it seems like I got everything. We'll get there. I got everything I wanted this week. I wanted Naomi and Charlotte. Got it. Jinder Mahal, we'll get there. But I would love for Naomi and Charlotte to have time. She should not win the title next week. It should be a back and forth for several pay-per-views because.
But you know she's going to win the title next week though, right?
But what's the point?
I feel like they do, and Charlotte as champion is not dumb, but I feel like they do dumb stuff just to have it done. Like, they rush through a lot of stories and they don't let things bubble as much. And I feel like just to say that Charlotte was the first woman to be the Raw Women's Champion and the SmackDown Women's Champion, which Alexa Bliss is on pace to be able to say that too, but just to be able to say that, I feel like they're gonna.
Well, I care less about her winning the title than I do about them rushing the story, right? I don't mind if Charlotte wins it. Like, I don't think she should win, but I'm okay if she wins it. Whatever. I just want to see them have more matches. Like, don't rush through. Because where are you going next? Who is Charlotte working with on SmackDown right away? Not Becky. You can't get to Becky right away. That's
Natty. Charlotte and Natty. Which they've done, but.
They've done that once before.
They've done it twice before.
Twice before. So you can't rush to that. Becky needs time. They shouldn't go right away to that. That should build up. So Carmella? She ain't ready for. I love Carmella. She ain't ready for Charlotte. As a character? That character is not ready to be challenging Charlotte yet.
Does Charlotte. Because I noticed, right, Natty said she had a plan for Charlotte or whatever, and then they did nothing. But Natty was with, it was Natty, Tamina, and Carmella. So here you have three wrestlers, women wrestlers, who are second generation. I think Natty's actually third generation. And so is Charlotte. So do they build a stable around that, that they all have that second nature, and then they build her four horsemen around that. Multi-generational women's wrestlers.
But if you have all of them, it's so many people, it's half the roster.
That's fine. I mean.
You mean three of them? Tamina, Natty, Charlotte?
Well, I said four. I was including Carmella in that.
Wait, because her dad sort of, her dad was a jobber?
Listen, it counts. It counts. It counts, all right?
What your name is?
Apparently so. I doubt that'll happen. I don't see that happening. I don't see them doing a faction in a division that's already small, because both these divisions are small. I like the idea that Wale was big on this, that he thinks all the women should be on one show. And I sort of feel that, just in terms of like what you could get out of it. It just feels like there's so. Just feels like it's a small roster on both.
I don't
both.
Think they should all be on one show, but I like the
idea. Or how
idea
about traveling to both shows?
Yeah, I like the idea of floating champions. Like, make your main championships be the main ones, and like the world champion, the women's champion, and the tag team champions go back and forth to both shows. And then, yeah, they just got to figure it out. But there's too much money in these replica belts. Like, it's all money. They're not going to do it that way, but I think you would get better quality.
You really think they get a lot of money from the replica belts?
People buy replica belts all the time. Those replica belts sell.
I wonder how much of a factor that is. I mean, I know people do. I love a good replica belt. There's no question about it.
You're never going to go to a show and not see at least...
By the way, hold on.
It's not a belt. It's a title.
Thank you. Let's get to my man, Jinder Mage Mahal. He defeats Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, Eric Rowan, Luke Harper, and Mojo Rawley in another pretty entertaining match. And again, a match with implications. You have a promo with Charlotte Naomi, implications. You have this six-pack challenge with implications. Mm-hmm. You have the Charlotte Naomi match. You have Shining Stars and American Alpha, which has implications because we're learning that the Shining Stars are now the Colognes, and they're bad. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Uh-huh. And they want the tag team championships.
You have Kevin Owens beating a jobber, but the whole thing felt like something. I mean, excuse me, after all, it was the first ever Face of America United States Championship Open Challenge. AJ Styles and Baron Corbin, with KO on commentary. We'll get to that in a minute. But my point is, all of this stuff just felt like it had some meaning to it. Jinder gets the win. A sneaky debut from the Bollywood boys.
Yep.
I hope the Bollywood boys are with him right away. Like, starting next week, they're just around. And he's like the leader of the pack, right?
I like the idea of those three together. I like, it feels fresh.
It feels fresh, and it feels like you all of a sudden take someone who can be treated like a bit of a Joubert in Jinder, who should not be treated that way, at least for a while. He deserves a run to see what he's got. And it, all of a sudden, it makes him look mage because the Bollywood boys are pretty mage.
And I'll tell you this, 2017 is his year. He just came back to the company and had his first one-on-one match at a pay-per-view. Well, I think it was at the Royal Rumble. And he played into a pretty, not big, but, you know, a decent storyline at WrestleMania. He was with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and Mojo. And now he's number one contender for the WWE Championship, the championship.
That's right.
So, I mean, I can understand why people have taken him for a joke just based on the trajectory of his career so far. But if you want to talk about 2017, this is his year. And it looks good. I hate that it feels like he's going to just be fed to Randy Orton and then
Jabroni!
Who knows what happens after
this. Well, listen, 5 weeks is a long time. I'm serious. I think this is one of those situations where they decide, like, let's give this a shot. We'll see what happens. But remember, their match isn't for a long time.
It is a long time, but it's also long enough for them to change directions.
That's true. The worst thing that happened this week with regard to Jinder was him winning the match, cutting a promo, and then Randy Orton coming down and standing right in his face and only worrying about Bray Wyatt.
Right.
That, to me, was like emasculating of Jinder right away. It was like, let me come down there and stand right in front. Excuse me. Let me wrap up this story that doesn't quite make that much sense, but we have to finish it for some reason. And, well, I don't know why they even have to finish that story. I wish they could have just bailed on the story.
Well, his mandatory championship rematch. But this is the thing.
And it should have happened the first week before they left.
It should have. But also, here's the thing that they should have done, which is like, Baron Corbin earned a championship title shot for the Intercontinental Championship, and that championship moved to Raw, so Baron Corbin gets inserted into the United States Championship picture. If Bray Wyatt wanted to go to Raw, they should have inserted him into the Universal Championship picture. The problem is, the Universal Champion ain't showing up until SummerSlam or Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I'm confused by this part. I admit it. I'm a bit confused. But I just didn't think it was, it didn't make sense. It just didn't make sense, to do that to the guy. As you're making him look mage, they made him look small simultaneously. I'll tell you what though, I'm a big fan of Jinder out of ring gear. Like how jacked he looks just wearing a button down shirt and how, I don't know, he's sort of, better looking in clothes, and I could see him working as a heel sort of better, like coming out as sort of a cool guy, And boy, did I pop in talking smack when he called himself the American Dream.
The new American Dream.
They better run with that. I really hope that's a, you think that's gonna be a thing?
I don't think so. I don't know if that'll be a thing. I hope so too, but I don't think it'll be a thing.
Cause afterwards, you know, that, Shane and Renee were like, I mean, come on, that's, but I couldn't tell if they were kind of burying it because it's intentionally.
Yeah.
To make it look like it's offensive, cause that's what they should do. He should refer to himself as the American Dream. I don't even need new. I would just say American Dream. And when people are like, that's Dusty Rhodes, be like, I don't know who that is. I'm the American. And you know, if Dusty was around, it's not like he'd care. It's not like he'd be like, I don't think Dusty would be upset about gimmick infringement if he thought it would be, if he thought it would put asses in thief, baby.
You're going to go to hit me and I'm going to miss. You're going to miss. I'm going to hit you.
I did not make it to the part of talking smack. I only have to watch like the first 15 minutes. I did not see what was said by the clones, but I heard they said something that would interest me. Did you see?
Well, what they said that interested me was they talked about, you know, their want for the tag team championships. They mentioned that 5 years ago at WrestleMania, they beat the Usos for the tag team championships, and the Usos are
on the
champs
kickoff show.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Usos are champs now. So I'm interested to see what they all do together. But, in talking about their family and their lineage and how they grew up in the business, they also said, let's not forget about Carlito.
I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
Greg, I see you want to dance to this. I can tell.
You know what cool is?
You have to.
You're joking.
There's not a listener out here who's not tapping his foot, bopping her head.
Nothing beats me.
You gotta move.
Don't you think with them going to the colognes, it makes it the perfect way to bring Carlito back?
I do think so.
Man, I'll tell you what. I tell you what, boy. That division. We said it last week, and now doesn't it feel possible? Carlito with the colognes, Shelton Benjamin with American Alpha. That would be fun, man. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm the only one who... They are some of the only acts that I really miss from the mid-2000s. Like, you know, when people were really kind of down and don't miss that 05, 06 period that much. Those are some of the guys that were really talented who were around. That would be really cool.
And I feel like they really missed the boat on them, too, you know, with the World Championship run. Just, like, giving them a shot.
You think there's any chance we'll see him?
Well, they said his name, so, you know, that's the first step, right? That means that there's no bad blood. That bridge is still intact.
There's only one other person I miss from that era. But I didn't grow to appreciate Batista till much later.
Same.
At first, I hated him. I thought he just couldn't work. I was just like, this guy's not very good. And then as time went on, by the end, I thought Batista was awesome. And then when he came back as Batista,
that was the best. Like, that was the, and like Hollywood Batista, you know, like.
You're aware that Batista, his last moments in WWE on camera.
I know what you're going to say.
Was in a wheelchair.
No.
When he got fired?
No.
That was the time before. That was the time before. Sorry, that's pre-Batista. Pre-Batista run, which led to him being Batista, was being fired by Bret Hart in a wheelchair.
Hold on, but here's the best thing about Batista, right?
Batista, excuse me.
His last moment as Batista, he's waving to the crowd, and Triple H says, go ahead. Go do your movies. It's going to be a flop, and you're going to come running back to the WWE. Since that time, he has been in Guardians of the Galaxy, which was a mega hit for Marvel. He has been in the James Bond movie. The name is escaping me, but that was also a mega hit. And he's about to be in another mega hit. Guardians of the Galaxy 2. No, they didn't really flop.
Well, you're talking to Triple H. I assume the Triple H, the character, is different than Triple H, the person.
Listen. Triple H, the person.
You think he wanted him to fail also?
I don't think he wanted him to fail, but he wanted Batista in the ring making that money over here.
Well, I by the way, so do I. I wish he could
he
do both.
He wants him making that money over here.
I listened to Batista on MVP's podcast a while ago, the VIP room, which is enjoyable. You should check it out. And it was interesting hearing about his relationship with wrestling, and he definitely still loves it. But he's out here trying to get all the money while it's here.
He's getting it too, though.
I may be able to get him soon. I know he's doing promo for Guardians of the Galaxy. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
I got it. Anyways, I would be really hopeful. You know what I would do to pop him? If he comes in for an interview, if he just walks in the room. PMD, this is called my workout music. PMD workout music. I never use the name PMD in here, but it's my old DJ name. Hold on, Andrew Gundling's texting me and standing outside the door. Makes me feel like he wants me to leave this room. See what he said. Hey, man. Just wanted to see about how much longer you're going. 5 minutes. I don't know how I got to Bautista, but I'll tell you this. There's two things I see missing from SmackDown. Number one, I'm still not totally getting it with Baron Corbin. I enjoyed him a little bit more this week. I enjoyed his work in the ring with AJ, but then again, I enjoy AJ with everybody.
Right.
And doesn't it feel like the title is now too far away from AJ?
The WWE Championship?
Yeah. I don't need Randy with the title. It doesn't do anything.
I mean, I agree. It should still be Bray, but I guess.
But that's not happening either. So I believe on SmackDown it should be AJ. I think it's not, AJ doesn't need the title. I think the title needs AJ. I just think it sitting on Randy doesn't mean anything.
Same.
Randy's, that's why I was shocked that he went over at WrestleMania. He doesn't need a title ever again. Randy can lose when he wants. He doesn't really lose. I wonder what Randy's record is. He rarely loses. But Randy can lose. Randy can win. It really doesn't matter. Unless he totally reinvents himself and his character takes some different, you know, takes on something that I just is not there right now.
Which would be what, though?
I don't know.
Which would be what?
I don't know. A real person. Like him becoming a real, real person. I mean, I don't know if it's in him. I don't know if he can dig deeper.
What does that look like for Randy Orton?
I have no idea. Him looking like what he always looks like when I see him, which is just wearing gym shorts and a t-shirt and walking out there and talking trash. I don't know. But I just, right now he's hovering at this level of like, he's still Randy. He got all weird and crazy. I mean, look, a month ago.
Do people want to know the real Randy Orton though?
I don't know. I mean, I think I've heard he's much better than he used to be, but. Honestly, even if he's still a heel in real life, that would be awesome. I have no problem with that. But like just a month ago, he was holding his hands up like this, old school Randy Orton style, in front of a huge fire at the Wyatt compound. And now it's like he's normal again. I just get very confused by his character. But AJ, I just feel like AJ's the biggest guy on the show. And by him being randomly in a story with Baron Corbin, I just don't know if that does enough with AJ. It's already going to be dangerous territory for AJ too, because he's babyface AJ, and he was only babyface AJ for a second in WWE.
Yeah,
we haven't seen what that's like yet. Now I have the utmost faith because he's the best wrestler in the world, in my opinion. But
and his style lends itself to being a babyface.
It does, but damn it, he's good as one of those likable heels. All right, we got to get out of this room, apparently.
Yes.
Again, I do want to thank everyone who reached out and said something positive. I mean, or even the people who didn't reach out at all, because you guys didn't realize that we were being attacked by people who decided in one day that we were the worst human beings who've ever lived. I appreciate those of you who decided we're not evil, horrible shills who believe in bullying. I appreciate that. Stat Guy, what do you have?
So, yeah, Randy Orton's win-loss record, as you just mentioned, or speculated on, is his 698 wins, 486 losses, and 62 draws.
Can you say that one more time?
698 wins.
Okay.
486 losses and 62 draws. And if you're doing the math, that is 56% of the 56% is his.
What do you feel about that number? Does that seem right to you? Doesn't feel like he wins a lot. How often do you picture him losing clean?
It doesn't have to be clean losses, though.
Very good point. Any loss whatsoever.
DQs, count outs, random.
You know what? I take it back. I guess you're right. It's hard for me to ever picture him losing. So. Yeah.
And I guess early in his career when he was getting F5'd and pre-Evolution Randy, and, you know, even that period after he got kicked out of Evolution where he was chasing Triple H. Did you download that video game?
I did not download it yet. because although I'm a nerd, I wasn't able to push myself to that level of nerding quite yet. I already have WWE in my life at so many places. I just was like, is this another place where I need it?
Yes, WWE Champions is Mage.
You're borderline a sponsor for WWE Champions.
Not, well, I mean, I really like this game. I'm not going to lie. Like, this game, it is addicting.
Why do people say addicting?
Because
it's addictive.
Addictive, addicting, whatever the word is,
sorry,
I'm hooked. And I find myself drawn to this game for whenever I have free time. And even sometimes when I don't have free time, I find myself drawn to it.
All right, Greg, don't you want to give a shout-out while we're at it?
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to our friends at Casper. Not the friendly ghost, the mattress guys. I would not be the physically strong, statistically strong, emotionally strong stat guy Greg if not for the Casper mattress.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. It's sleep is a major key, Greg.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if you know this. I work many jobs, as do you.
Yes.
You know, I have multiple radio shows. I actually host a show called Bring It to the Table on the WWE Network. I do many different things. You are physically strong. You're a lawyer, and you host the Cheapy Podcast. If you didn't have amazing sleep, you'd be lost out here.
Right. I know people don't believe it, but yes, I do sleep, and I sleep on a Casper mattress. So get a Casper and get a great night's sleep every night like I do. Go to Casper.com/heat and use the code HEAT for $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. That's Casper.com/heat. Code HEAT and get $50 towards the purchase of your mattress.
Now, if you tell me that doesn't make you want to get a new mattress simply because Stack Guy Greg talked about it, you're lying.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you're going to be physically strong.
No, but they'll be physically well.
Yes.
Hey, Greg, it's been a pleasure. Let's get together and do this again next week.
Oh, sure, I can do that.
Is that the go home for Backlash?
Yes.
So we will break that down next week. I'm not doing Backlash for WWE.
Payback, not Backlash.
Sorry. Payback.
Backlash is the SmackDown pay-per-view.
Oh, darn it. Anyways, we'll get into that next week as well as much more. Rosenberg Radio or Stat Guy Greg on Twitter and Instagram. Remember two things. Number one.
See, as managing manager of general. Excuse me.
And also, stay mage. And more importantly, if you're having a problem at any point this week, if anyone comes up and bothers you, if anyone's offensive, rude, mean, or anything that you just don't appreciate, I want you to take that person, I want you to pull them to the side, and I want you to look them deeply in their eyes. And as you're looking in their eyes, I want you to say something. And what I want you to say is this.
You're hurting me.